is just ridiculous. Three intelligent women sitting here in complete silence. Must be something to talk about. Do you know that every night at dinner, the Kennedy clan would sit around the table having lively debates about everything under the sun? They would quiz each other about current events, historical facts, intellectual trivia. Now, the Gilmore clan is just as smart and worldly as the Kennedys, so come on. Somebody, say something.
Do you know that a butt model makes $10,000 a day?
So in case you didn't notice, that was a quote from Gilmore Girls.
Which is Dan's favorite all-time, uber-favorite show.
No, it's just the greatest show ever.
Debatable.
Not debatable. It's fact. It's had like three resurgences. Two resurgences. It was on. It aired on TV for years. Then it came back as like a whole DVD remake. And now when it got put up back on Netflix, it's new generations every time. This show will live on forever.
6 Feet Under is the greatest show of all time.
Oh, keep dreaming. Who watches 6 Feet Under now?
It doesn't matter if people watch it now.
But it does. Gilmore Girls is like Charles Dickens. It's timeless.
6 Feet Under took TV to a level that had never been before, and it stayed at that. If we hadn't had 6 Feet Under, we wouldn't have House of Cards, and we wouldn't have Game of Thrones or any of this cinema quality TV.
It doesn't make it the best show.
We also wouldn't have brilliant actors on TV, because before 6 Feet Under, it was considered lower classed. You had to be in cinema or you were a lower level of actor.
But we will never have actors greater than Lorelai and Rory. No one can speak as fast as they do. Anyway, we should probably get to talking about something that we're actually going to talk about today. So our first segment this week, of course, is PH Dan's.
Oh, but quickly we have to wish Dan a happy birthday because it's his birthday this weekend.
And guess what? Technically, as a male, my brain is still not fully developed, unlike some old people around here.
But technically, as a male, you are now almost a decade past your sexual peak.
Well, that was a waste of time, wasn't it?
And don't I know it.
Ooh, burn.
And so we were inspired to look into Canberra a little bit, because it is our, well, not so sleepy anymore hometown, because we went shopping on Lonsdale Street this weekend. Well, we went shopping for Dan with my credit card.
What's new? The way all good relationships work.
Anyway, the point being that even 2 years ago, Lonsdale Street was just a couple of coffee shops and a car dealership. And now it's just absolutely overflowing with all these fantastic little independent jewelry stores and homeware stores. It's got five of the best coffee shops in town all vying for space and service at the moment. It's got the Hamlet, which is food trucks and various other things.
And it looks like a Walking Dead set because you've got to walk through all the hipsters.
So many hipsters, so much beard, so many singlets split all the way down to the crotch line. But
oh, hang on, the
it
best
feels
one,
alive.
One day I was walking along and outside one of the coffee shops, I saw this hipster standing up drinking his coffee and he was cupping his cappuccino underneath the cup like it was a martini and swirling it around in his hand.
Did he sniff it?
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake. They drive me insane, but at least they've brought some culture to the
Look,
area.
We have to say, I had to go out to the burbs the other day. Oh, dear. To get tires changed on my car. Hashtag mask. And I went and bought a coffee, and I ordered a large coffee, and I kid you not, it was in a milkshake cup. What is wrong with people in the suburbs?
Yeah, but look, that's no different. That's what Canberra is a real city now, because if you go to the burbs in Sydney or Melbourne, have you been to Knox City in Melbourne?
Hey.
It is a huge shopping centre, but my gosh, it is a different world.
Don't pick on Knox. That's where my family is from.
I'm not.
I was raised at Knox City.
We've been down this road, okay? We're not going to go there again. I'm not knocking Knox City. I'm just saying it's not for me and that there are some striking differences between Knox City and Southland and those sort of areas compared to central Melbourne, central Sydney, and now central Canberra.
What Dan's actually trying to say is that he's just an inner city snob.
Yes, I'm okay with this description.
Anyway, so the point of all of this is that our thesis for PH Dan's this week is that Canberra is Australia's greatest city.
I really hope I don't actually have to write a thesis on this.
No, we just have to discuss it, so.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, you go first, because I think you're more on board with this statement than I am.
So, well, I have to give a bit of background here. I lived in Canberra for a few years, and couldn't have been more bored, couldn't wait to get out of it. I went to Sydney, and I was in Sydney for a couple of months, and it was pretty much the worst time of my life. It was so expensive, everyone was so pretentious, you couldn't get anywhere.
If you didn't hit the gym 6 times a week, you were no one.
And it was just painful. So then I came back to Canberra, and Canberra's had a revolution. It's been revitalized. It's got an art scene, cafes, restaurants, some of the best restaurants in the country.
We have our own comedy festival now.
That lasts for one night. So basically I moved back to Canberra, and look, the best thing about Canberra, Dan will disagree with me on this, but the best thing about Canberra is the fact that you can go to Lonsdale Street and you can fight the crowds and wait 40 minutes to get a takeaway coffee, but then you can walk 2 blocks the other way and go hiking up Mount Ainslie.
And for somebody who suffers chronic hay fever, literally 6 months of the year, this isn't such a selling feature.
As you can tell, Dan's a bit afraid of nature.
I'm not afraid of nature. Nature hates me. There's a big difference.
Have you ever thought that maybe you hate nature and it just gets that vibe and attacks you back because it feels the animosity towards it?
Anyway, back to Canberra. We haven't mentioned my favourite part.
Oh, what's your favourite part of Canberra?
The restaurants.
Yeah, the restaurants are pretty amazing.
We have some really freaking good restaurants
now. And you can get a reservation at like no notice.
Exactly. You know, Melbourne, Sydney, you've got to book weeks in advance for some of the best restaurants. And we have some fantastic high quality eating here. And you just call up the night before or maybe even just rock up.
And Dan's credit card company loves those restaurants because they make a lot of interest from our dining habits.
Oh, my gosh. So Monster is where we've been recently. Absolutely brilliant.
Lilo Tang. 86 is always a favorite.
Lilo Tang was this fantastic modern Japanese restaurant we went to for Dan's birthday. That's just opened up too. 86 is an all-time favorite. Seriously, the list goes
on. I don't think
on.
We need to list them all. Basically, there's just
basically, great restaurants. You can live here for years now and actually go and eat somewhere different every weekend and have an amazing time. That's no mean feat.
Not to mention, we should put in a plug for Briscola Pizzeria, which is Canberra's best pizzeria in 2014. And we may or may not be getting a free dinner out of putting that plug in.
Yeah, absolutely. No bias at all. No product placement. Just doing this out of the kindness of our hearts. Hi, Gianni.
Speaking of which, we're all for taking freebies if anyone wants us to.
If anybody else would like us to give a shout out on Dan by Dan, you can contact us via Twitter or you can email us at danliveshere@icloud.com. Our rates are very reasonable, trust me.
We haven't mentioned the greatest thing about Canberra, which is that if any of you remember the Maltesers roundabout ad, you can literally recreate that ad all day long.
I used Siri once to get around Canberra. They are only 200 metres apart. It's not a myth. It's a reality.
But you just have to learn the flow of Canberra. Canberra's just an organic city. So once you learn that if you want to go left, you veer right, and at some point you'll end up left, it works.
It's one giant circle and it does my head in. I could get around Melbourne without my phone within a week of living here. I still use my GPS every day in Canberra just to get to the shops.
Everyone can get around Melbourne. I mean, if you can turn a 90 degree corner, you can get around Melbourne.
Yeah, so Melbourne, New York, all based on grids, everybody can get around them. Canberra, based on freaking circles, and nobody knows where they're going.
But have you seen how pretty Canberra looks from Mount Ainslie?
Or from an aerial shot, but how many people actually
look at
their city
from the
sky?
Speaking of which, Canberra's so good that they featured in a background shot in Mad Men.
That's true, claim to fame. And we're very popular for Bollywood films.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of Bollywood films get shot by the lake here.
There you go. So, you know, Canberra's the place to be.
The code made Canberra look really pretty recently. Have you watched that on ABC TV? And that had Lucy Lawless in it.
It also
stuck on that, nerds.
It also could be said to have contributed to our food truck revolution. Which, by the way, I was reading a review the other day that said Canberra's food trucks are definitively better than Melbourne's food trucks.
The Barista Awards have just come out. the top barista in Australia lives in?
Canberra.
Wow, you've kind of brought me on side after this whole argument. Aaron and Ben are not going to be happy.
Abby, hi, it's Lorelai, Richard and Emily's girl. I'm the one with... Yeah, that's right. Wow, you don't hear the word wedlock much anymore.
I'm home.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Really? The Bible said all that, huh? Did it mention me by name? I'm just kidding.
Alrighty, so our next segment is, as usual, the Nicholas game.
So if you don't know who Nicholas is, Google him now.
He is pretty much a god amongst men, which is why we've named a game after him.
So basically the aim is that every week, six individuals or organizations have made an impact in pop culture get rated on a scale of zero, meaning you're absolute scum and please leave our planet now, to Nicholas, meaning you're just friggin' amazing.
Yeah, he's a writer, HIV activist, and he just is always on point, and he's also pretty attractive.
And he set the bar very high, as you can tell.
So our candidates this week, to kick things off, our first candidate is Pope Francis.
Now, why are we doing Pope Francis again? Is it because he got a pizza delivered to his Pope-mobile, or is it because he said that trans people burn in hell?
Well, you know, this is the thing about Pope Francis. He kind of makes some contradictory... Well, not contradictory. He just, you know, he goes for the whole, we must love gay people, but then turns around and says...
Dogs go to heaven, but not fags.
Yeah. And, you know, gay marriage is an ideological colonization of the family.
Ideological colonization of the family. Is that a bad thing?
I don't know. I mean, I'm all anti-marriage, but we don't need to discriminate on our anti-marriageness. We can just have no marriage for everyone. It would be fantastic.
That's equality.
It is, indeed.
So why are we mad at Pope?
Well, I think I'm most mad because he gets held up as this kind of great progressive Pope when actually he can be pretty horrible.
Oh, well, it's the Catholic Church. It will never be progressive in a way that anybody who's actually progressive wants it to be.
So what I think is one of the Pope's most interesting comments is he came out and said that no one should be allowed to criticize the Catholic Church.
Why?
Well, that's a great question because the Catholic Church is pretty happy.
He didn't back that up.
He's pretty happy to criticize other people. But I think
everyone else, yeah.
From my RE classes at school, we were always taught, and I thought this was a wonderful case of irony. So we were taught that as Catholics, you all have free will. And you can go out and you can explore your own thoughts and come to your own decisions about the world. But they told us that if you were a true disciple of God, you would always come to the realization that the Catholic teaching was the only true teaching.
Very frustrating. So Pope, nah. All right, who's up next?
So our next contender this week is actually a Twitter account. It's at ABC News 1915.
This is an interesting one.
So basically what the ABC has gone and done is created this Twitter account where from the 1st of April, they're going to live tweet the Gallipoli landing 100 years later.
Hang on, I just need to swap from my gin and tonic to my glass of wine. Continue.
So as I was saying, it's a Twitter account live tweeting the Gallipoli landing. Which my first reaction is that this is pretty cool use of technology.
It's very interesting. And I like that it's using social media and a new platform, and it's obviously going to end up engaging with young people to tell them a story in a new way that might appeal to them more than a boring old teacher just droning on about dates and facts in a classroom.
And it's also engaging them because they're going to use excerpts from diaries and letters and things from real people. So it's using real historical documents. It's not just a kind of summary of the story. My problem, though, as it is with all of the centenary stuff around the First World War is this constant reinforcing of the idea of the Anzac spirit and this kind of religion of the Anzac, which really just valorizes violence and masculinity.
Absolutely. And look, I say this all the time, you know, on Remembrance Day, and we hang our heads in a minute of silence, and we build a whole war memorial to these. And you know, in Canberra, there's an entire street that has various monuments and statues dedicated to this. And I just go, but when we glorify this, we make sure it can happen again. Where are the statues to all the scientific breakthroughs that great Australians have made? Where is the promenade for all the fantastic doctors and nurses that weren't involved in wars, just back home, and all of the breakthroughs and contributions they've made? Where are our monuments to teachers? We are... It worries me.
You know, the part of the issue I have, and we certainly wouldn't want to diminish the contribution that veterans make.
It's not about diminishing them. It's just about propping up other people in society to the same level that veterans get.
And also, I just think the way in which we describe the Anzac spirit, it has changed in recent years a little bit, but it is still very much this narrative of white male mateship that is sexist. It whitewashes the history of Indigenous veterans. It certainly excludes queer narratives from that. Anyway, so we should probably get on to some more positive candidates this week.
Positive?
Well, so our next candidate, and you might have seen the video floating around, is the grapefruit. More specifically, the grapefruit blowjob.
And this is, like, I used to have grapefruit for breakfast, and now it just... It doesn't look the same.
Not the same?
No.
So basically this video, it's a sex advice video in which this
I think that Cosmo were the ones who cottoned onto it and sort of spread it the most.
So this YouTuber and sex advice giver gives this demonstration of how to cut off the ends of a grapefruit and hollow out the center so that you can slip it over a penis while you're giving a blowjob. And apparently, according to the video, it feels like you're having penetrative sex and a blowjob at the same time.
I just don't know why you couldn't just buy a flesh jack. I feel like it's doing the same job.
Can you get a flesh jack with a hole in the top so that you can also be giving the blowjob?
I'm sure you could. I'm sure there is something out there that does this in a less...
Don't you think the grapefruit would taste better for the person giving the blowjob, though?
Yeah, but they're putting their mouth around the skin, and citrus skins are always that weird sort of
sound. No. The grapefruit goes lower, and you just get the juices that are left on the penis.
Oh. Well, I guess that would be tasty.
Yeah,
look, I'm not against this. I'm really not. Look, I'm all about sexual experimentation, and partners just pleasuring one another consentingly. So I actually think this is really cool, and I'm glad that people are paying attention, because sex should be fun and it should be a little bit silly as well. Yeah. Why not? It's just for two people to enjoy it. And I think that some of the best sex that I've ever had has involved laughter, and this would definitely make people laugh. So why not? That's all I have to say.
Our next contender this week is Laverne Cox.
As Beyonce.
Yes, because Laverne
Cox... This makes me so excited.
...has been cast as Beyonce for a new MTV biopic.
And this is just so good, because the casting director said, we just wanted to cast the person who looked right and could play the part right.
And we have to, like, Laverne Cox, her part in Orange is the New Black is one of the best characters. Like, it's got a pretty strong cast, that show, but she is definitely one of the standout.
And it has nothing characters. To do with her being trans. She's just a fantastic female character. That's trans storyline certainly has been very emotional and relatable to a lot of people.
And it also, we have to give Laverne Cox props for being such a wonderful...
Advocate.
And a very well-spoken, certainly someone who takes the time to explain issues in a nuanced and engaging way.
What this goes to show is she's a great actor. It doesn't matter that she's transgender and that she's pushing this cause, which is fantastic, but that's not affecting her work. And that is exactly what she is aiming for, and what we should all be aiming for, is casting people for who's best for the role, who's most talented.
And let's be honest, if anyone is going to pull off the Beyonce look, Laverne Cox is... one of the only people I can think that could pull off that.
It's true, because Beyonce is a fierce, take-no-shit woman, and Laverne Cox has proven herself to be a fierce, take-no-shit woman. it's perfect. It's actually very inspired casting. And the other thing was the casting director said, we're casting Beyonce. There was always going to be people who gave us flack. So we don't mind that we're going to get some backlash. There was always going to be some sort of backlash.
All right, so moving on to our next contender. And this week we have a new book that's been published and just had a book launch at the National Library of Australia.
And this one's close to Dan's country heart.
It is very close to my country heart. It's called Lenny the Legend. And the reason that we bring up Lenny the Legend is because it's based on a true story of a young 9-year-old boy who travelled from his small country town in Victoria on his horse all the way to Sydney. It must have been, and it was in time for the opening of the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
That's a long journey.
It's a long journey, especially for a 9-year-old. But the reason that this story
Why did his parents let him go?
Well, I don't know.
That doesn't seem to be explained.
I think I might have said something. No, did I read something about his parents having died or he was having to work on the farm? Anyway, the most important part of this story is that Lenny grew up in a town called Leongatha, which is where I grew up.
Now, let us point out that you had never even heard this story until my mother brought it up to you a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I thought the only thing that Leongatha was famous for was hanging crucifixes at the entrance to town, but
every Easter, they drag the cross through the main street and erect it at the front of the town. This is 2015. Anyway.
So Leongatha is a great place and you should all visit. Dan spent all of 10 minutes in there.
Look, I spent a weekend there, but yes, only too. 10 minutes actually outdoors. And I saw it all, people. I saw it all. The you shit weren't... coffee included.
Hey, you weren't there for the helicopter raids in Leongatha. When I went home for Christmas, we had helicopters flying overhead and sirens going off. And we were live tweeting it and, you know, couldn't wait to hear what the crime was, what the raid was for.
It was police officers throwing out candy over the local oval for the bratty little kids in town. Like they needed more sugar.
Kids love sugar.
Yeah, kids love sugar. Parents don't. And as somebody who is part raising a 3-year-old child...
Part raising.
1% of the time.
Yeah. Ready to I know. Up your contribution.
I know.
Have you changed a nappy yet?
Yes. One. Anyway, next candidate.
So our final candidate this week is The Backburner, which is Australia's finest online news service.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
No, oh, I thought it was just called SBS Comedy.
It's actually, its tagline is the Australian newspaper that's not the Australian newspaper.
Well, it's a lot better than the Australian newspaper.
That's for sure.
Anyway, this publication has just been going from strength to strength lately. I don't know if it's always been this good or it's just because it's come across my Twitter timeline more often, but I'm reading a lot of articles and it is just... It is so on the ball. It is really funny. They've got some excellent writers involved. It's biting critique of Australian politics at the moment. Maybe it's because our politicians are just giving them such endless epic fodder.
And today's headline article was Mike Baird vows to retake the ACT. So basically the current Liberal leader of New South Wales... has vowed that if he wins the election, he will fill in the hole in New South Wales.
But we'll be fighting back.
We will be fighting back.
As our Chief Minister, Andrew Barr, our resistance will be that of the guerrilla. We will set upon Bard and his men with great savagery while they are busy trying to navigate Canberra's theoretically perfect but actually nightmarish network of roundabouts.
Will we, though? Or will we be all too busy sitting on Lonsdale Street sipping coffee?
Yeah, or visiting the new IKEA that's opening soon. Anyway.
So it's time to...
Bookmark it.
It's time to award the points, I think. We have to decide.
It's a tough list this week because they're actually all pretty...
are our candidates. Okay, so
they're all pretty good except Pope. Zero.
Yeah, so the Pope can be zero. But, you know, the real question is, so far, Nicholas has remained on top every week.
Yeah.
Are we finally...
Because as you see, we start at zero, we go to six. We only have six candidates and we kind of drop out a number. Six is Nicholas. Nobody's actually got Nicholas yet.
But the question this week is, would you prefer a Nick Hollis or a grapefruit blowjob? This is a tough one, isn't it?
It is a tough one. But I'm in a committed long-term relationship, so I'm going to go with Nick Hollis.
Excellent choice. I concur. But, okay, so the grapefruit's lower than Nick Hollis. Yeah. What about Laverne Cox as Beyonce?
I want to make her number five. I want to make her the best. I'm best. Very happy with
better
this.
Better than Nick Hollis?
No.
So still not as good as Nick Hollis?
Oh, no. I'm giving her Nick Hollis. I'm excited about this.
Nick's down this week. Nick's, Laverne Cox is number one.
Nick's
is
finally going down. Like Dan has prayed for months and months. Laverne Cox takes the crown.
So what about Lenny the Legend?
A 9-year-old kid riding a horse. That just brings up so many child law issues for me.
Yeah. I don't know that this is the story we should be telling to young children.
I know. I feel like the story we should be telling is what on earth was going on with our government legislation that allowed a 9-year-old child to just get on a horse and ride into state on his own.
What was really going on here is that even a 9-year-old is that desperate to get out of Leongatha that they'll ride a horse to Sydney. We'll give Lenny maybe a 2 or a 3. So we have ABC News 1915, which for me goes right down to number 2. I'm sorry, but the Anzac spirit thing really bugs me.
We're just pushing it so hard. I'm going to have 4 years of every second thing on ABC being about the Anzacs. It's too much. Yeah. It's just too much.
And SBS comedy. They can get a number, a 4 or a 5, I think.
So, in order of best to worst, Laverne Cox, Nick Hollis, Grapefruit, ABC News, Lenny the Legend, and Pope Francis.
Excellent.
I can remember the first time I had a Pop-Tart. It was at my friend Erica Katch's house, and she said, do you want a Pop-Tart? And I knew my mother would recoil at the very idea of me having a Pop-Tart. I could just picture her, a Pop-Tart. And so I had one. And I opened the little silver wrapper, and I took a bite, and I thought nothing had ever tasted so good. I thought it tasted like freedom. It tasted like I was my own person. The Pop-Tart tasted like freedom and rebellion and independence.
Wow, that's some Pop-Tart. What flavor was that?
Is fact versus fiction?
No, it's not.
Oh. Is film versus fiction?
That's better.
Thank you.
So this week we went to the French Film Festival at Palace Cinemas, and we saw The New Girlfriend,
which is directed by Francois Ozon.
I'm glad you Googled that.
And so, The New Girlfriend, it's a rom-com really, isn't it?
It is, and I pointed this out to Dan after the screening, but it follows the rom-com format, and it is a light-hearted film with a serious subject matter.
Yeah.
But to put it simply, the story is about a woman who dies and leaves behind her best friend and her husband and their newborn baby. And what happens is the best friend goes to visit the husband and the newborn baby shortly after the death and finds him dressed up in dress and makeup and as a woman looking after the baby. And it's about the friendship that ensues from this encounter.
And it's got some great moments, some very Thelma and Louise type moments.
Very touching moments.
Very touching. And it takes a serious matter. You know, it does deal certainly with trans issues, although to give it credit, without necessarily naming it as such, because I don't think that identity or to put it so specifically as to say that the character is a trans woman or transitions is...
It remains deliberately vague on that point.
It's just an exploration of those issues.
And I think what's so great is it also separates sexuality and gender, because as it's revealed is that just because he wants to live as a woman doesn't mean he's attracted to men, because not all trans women are heterosexual women.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I was just impressed by that.
Yeah, it was a really fantastic exploration.
So we also read some poetry. So we're taking it in a different direction.
So we decided that that was a really good kicking off point to actually go and look for some literature by trans women who as with women in general, are unfortunately fairly underrepresented in the publishing world. And so I read this fantastic article, which I'll link to on our Tumblr blog, but just about contemporary trans women writers. And there are, fortunately, some great new publishing houses, I think particularly in the US, who are publishing the works of these women. And one of these women in particular is Rika Aoki, and she is an American poet and also a trans advocate. And one of her collections, it's a collection of poetry, short fiction, and I think essays as well, called Seasonal Velocities. So we read a few poems from there, and they touched on some pretty heavy issues.
They're really beautiful.
Yeah.
And they certainly moved me. Because they're written, it's poetry, so I guess poetry is always a little cryptic in a sense. So they touch on, and I think this is sort of the point we're going for, they touch on universal issues.
Yeah.
They are issues that you can obviously imagine that she as an author suffered as a trans person, they're issues of rejection and feeling like you don't belong. And yeah. So many people can relate to that across so many different minorities or just as a human being.
And I think like to review it as fiction for me, or as poetry, it's probably not the sort of poetry I would normally read. I, as a lit student, am much more interested in language itself and the use of words than I am in content, emotions and feelings and narrative. So for me, it's not the sort of poetry that I would normally engage with, but I still appreciate it as really beautiful, very talented poetry.
Oh, I really liked it because I thought also what was wonderful is she links to science and she talks about being stardust and meteorites and particles and these sort of things. And anybody who's watched Brian Cox, which my mum calls the thinking woman's crumpet. Yeah. Anybody who's watched Brian Cox documentaries understands how he talks about all of us being created from atoms and all atoms are recycled. Therefore, statistically speaking, every single atom in our body was once a star. And that's beautiful. That's reincarnation. That's God. That's all religion explained by science. And she references that in her poetry when she's talking about belonging and being human and being all the same. So many differences, but at the core, the same. I just really, it's so simple. It's like four lines and it's just like, bam, this is who we are.
So is there anything else you want to discuss about this?
Well, which one works better? It's really a difficult one because we're not talking about similar stories this week, but we're talking about similar experiences.
Yeah, but I think for me, certainly to judge them on artistic merit, I guess, I think they're both just fantastic. Yeah, it's a great film, very enjoyable, couple of hours at the cinema, fantastic performances. And similarly, the poetry, I think, is just really beautifully written poetry. So I can't declare a winner this week, I don't think.
Are we allowed to not declare a winner? Because I don't want to declare a winner either. I thought the poetry was beautiful and moving, but I thought the film was fun and enlightening and just different in a way that Western cinema rarely explores.
Basically, what we're saying this week is go and buy Seasonal Velocities by Rika Aoki and read it. And find a cinema where you can see The New Girlfriend by Francois Ozon.
The French Film Festival in your city might still be going, so log on to the Palace website, have a look. It is worth seeing. There are actually some all kinds of fantastic films playing at that festival. This is just one of many.
And so I think that concludes our podcast for this week.
Bringing to close another epic episode of Dan by Dan.
So thanks for listening. And if you want to hear more from us or tell us where we're wrong, you can tweet me at Aiden C. Delaney.
And you can tweet me at Dan Lives Here.
Or you can tweet the both of us at Dan_by_Dan.
And we'll try and use that account more than once a week. Promise.
And if you want all the links and information from this episode, head to danbydanpodcast.tumblr.com.
That's the one. You finally remembered.
I did.
And as usual, thanks for listening. You say thanks for listening, remember?
I said it a minute ago.
We...
All right, so we'll turn off the microphone and finish this argument.
Goodbye.
I always wanted a real home with flowers on the window.